Okay, this is the Marysville Board of Education regular meeting of Thursday, May 16th, 2013. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Here.
Mrs. Devine.
Here.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
Mrs. Powers.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Greer is absent. Can we please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. Next up, I need a motion to adopt the agenda, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. I believe the only change on there is there will be no High Point Report 7.3, so you can remove that from your agenda. Are there any other additions or deletions? Hearing none then, I need a roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, motion carries. Okay, next up, I need a motion to approve Jason Adelsberger as Employee of the Month for April, and Michelle Thrush for the Employee of the Month for May. Can I have that motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Diane, present.
Okay, we're going to start with Jason. Jason, where are you? It's my pleasure to introduce you or talk a little bit about Jason if you don't know him already. From a personal standpoint, we've been kind of at a loss losing our IT director, and Jason certainly has one up his sleeve and helped out and gone above and beyond, but these are some other comments that your peers said about you and why you received this award. Jason has always been very helpful and patient with technology questions and issues. He also completes and follows up on difficult tickets that involve various systems and programs. Jason helps our jobs run smooth and accurate, which in turn helps students and parents. Congratulations. Congratulations.
All right. Thank you to both Jason and Michelle for obviously the great work that they're doing for the district. So can I have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mrs. Glassford.
Yes.
And Mr. Mady.
Yes. Okay. Motion carries. Next up, we have a hearing for reemployment of a retired employee. In accordance with Ohio Revised Code Section 3307.353, the Board of Education of the Marysville Exempted Village School District hereby gives public notice that Kathy McGinnis, who was formerly employed by the board and now retired, is seeking reemployment with the board for the 2013-2014 school year in the same or similar position as a reemployed retirant. The board will hold a public meeting on the issue of today's date, May 16th, thank you, 2013, being reemployed as a retirant on August 1st, 2013. So it is now part of this process that we will take any comments on this public notice as part of the hearing. Are there any comments? Okay. Last chance.
Juliet.
I wasn't prepared for that, but I would love to. I'm sorry, but not only is she my building principal, but she's brought a lot to the process of so many things that we've been doing lately. So, you asked, so I'm going to say,
absolutely,
I'm all for it.
So. Okay. Are there any other comments? Okay, hearing none, then we will move on. Next up, we have our Good Apple presentations. Who are we starting with? Who's first on the list?
Well, we're going to bring up the building reps or the building principals. Can we get out the Good Apple board? Okay, we come up.
Exemplified probably the importance of community and volunteerism was our last effort at our ask on the levy ballot in May. And you can see how when everyone chips in, it makes a difference and builds a community, whether it's the school community or the community as a whole. So we just want to thank, certainly there are more people that are going to be recognized here tonight that do tons and tons and tons of work. And you don't do it to get an award by the Board of Education. You do it because it's part of something bigger than yourself. And so when I was thinking about that today, and Lynette said, hey, you might be on call, and then she just put me on call, I picked out a little quote that kind of stuck with me. How can we expect our children to know and experience the joy of giving unless we teach them that the greater pleasure in life lies in the art of giving rather than receiving? So thank you for what you do.
Is Shelly Skaggs. And I know I've said this before, that in the middle
school, you just got to be tough. If you want to be a volunteer, you have to figure out what we need and then just do it. And that's exactly what she did. She has done anything we ever asked of her. Primarily, she's been our, she's championed our booster club for our athletics. But lots of other things, too. If we need food, all of a sudden they see Shelly dragging in food, dragging in water. She even spent 10 hours on a bus to go with us to Washington, D.C., which, you know, makes her a little crazy, too. I very much appreciate it, and it's been fun with you with her. She's well-deserved.
Thanks,
Shelly.
Thank you.
Susan, would you join me, please? Susan Crane. Susan is our PTO president. Last year, she was PTO officer both at Creekview and at Edgewood. Mother of four, so that means she spent 8 years with me, and she's halfway through. Little does she know what we're going to ask her to do next. We're going to say the same thing about all of our people. I mean, highly committed to our school district. Highly committed and a great advocate for staff, gets it and understands that everything we do is for kids. It's been absolute joy working with you. You've made our building a stronger place, and thank you so very much for your volunteerism. I'm going to run off to the sixth grade concert.
She is a woman on a mission, and Sarah has great leadership, and if you give her a job to do, she'll get it done. One last example would be our extravaganza a couple weeks ago. They netted almost $7,000 in one night. That just doesn't happen overnight, but it takes good leadership and the support of strong PTO people, and we can't thank them enough, and I wish she were here that we could say that to her. Her dedication to Edgewood is appreciated much more than this board could express. We believe that her leadership of PTO and the opportunities that she's brought to Edgewood over the years directly correlates why Edgewood is an excellent place for students, staff, and parents.
Schaefer. You see him around, congratulate him, because we could not do what we do without them. But another couple is here, Lori and Dave Peterson, if you'll come on down. I'm thrilled to tell you about this fantastic couple. They've been familiar faces at Mill Valley for the past 10 years, and they have four children. Jacob, Jack, Luke, and Sarah, and all four have attended Mill Valley. And through the years, Lori and Dave have both helped with the classroom teachers, anything we need. Sometimes I greet Dave in the morning as well as all the students because he comes in and helps so much. And they've helped with class parties. They've helped with the annual PTO flower sale, our scarecrow nights, and many other events. They just recently and have always supported our Lubbock campaigns and gone door to door delivering flyers and talking with people. We appreciate that so much. And Lori has been our PTO treasurer the past 7 years. She also coordinates gathering and organizing all the information that's needed for our school directory. So that is wonderful. This year, their youngest child, Sarah, moves on to Creekview. And so we will miss seeing them so much, and we thank you so very, very much for all your years of faithful service.
Thank you.
Goodman. I'm not sure. I hope maybe she is. Julia, as everybody said, it's about the kids. She donates a lot of her time, a lot of her resources, and this year she truly helped make Northwood students' days very considerably brighter than in past years, and a very active member of the PTO. She helped put on the pancake breakfast and the Cedar Santa, those types of things, and we appreciate all that you've done for us and all that you've done for the kids, and thank you for your support.
She has organized fundraisers for us. She's organized our fall fest and our supper with Santa. Most recently, our flower sale. We were there. What time were you there? Because I wasn't there. I wasn't there that early. 6:30 in the morning. That's dedication. But again, just so organized. The great thing is she has a third grader, but now we also have two kindergartners coming. So we've already hit her up for next year. She's agreed to help us again for next year, so we're really excited. But thank you, Miranda. Thank you.
It kind of chokes me up because she makes sure that not one of our kids goes home hungry on Friday. And so I'm so grateful to her for everything she does for Naaman, especially for our kids and me. So thank you, Susan, and I accept this on her behalf.
Well worth the effort for our kids, and we appreciate all your time.
all the donations that all of you made, landed in great hands. Jane keeps us organized and in line in a very strict manner. It doesn't let us spend before we've got it, which is important for the two of us. But does a fantastic job. And actually was doing this before I came on board. I don't know how long you have to go. Since 2008, so certainly appreciate her time and the last minute, well, how much money do we have? And so appreciate both of them. Thank you very much, Jane.
All the good athletes that are here could come back up. We'll do a quick picture. Chad's going to take a quick picture for the paper, and we'll let you guys go and move on.
Good. Just try not to get in the way. Chad, do you want some chairs? Do you want chairs for that set? Started again? All right, we are going to move along. And again, on behalf of the board, really, you know, thank you to our volunteers. I'm sure a lot of our staff members out here would agree with, you know, we couldn't do a lot of the things that we do without the help of our volunteers. And although this is certainly just a small sample of them, there are great things that they do every day in our district. So thank you to them. Next up, we're going to do a presentation of Common Core by the elementary building.
Actually, we kind of changed that because the plans are complete, and we had talked about that, and we're moving forward.
Okay.
What I asked is for Andy, and we had talked at length, and I thought this would be a good opportunity to kind of get everyone together to discuss the new accountability system. So Andy and the coaches that have been identified for next year are here to, and principals here to present to you that new accountability system. And if I could, before they get going, they put a lot of time and effort into this. And again, if you think back to when we were trying to make decisions about how to put resources in the building, knowing that we were going to have to lose staff, the coaching model is something we decided to make an investment in, to shift resources and put those resources into the buildings to help support teachers on a day-to-day basis with professional development. So Andy and that team have put together a presentation that will kind of step you through our new report card system. You're going to see pretty quickly that if you haven't looked yet, that the rigor of the new system is very high, and definitely the accountability pieces that buildings are going to have to start moving forward to. Can you find it, Andy? Do you want me to keep talking?
Just get out of that one, Andy, if you want to.
The standard for performance in different areas is certainly calculated a bit differently, and is certainly at a higher standard than we are currently at. So we thought this would be a good opportunity to give you some information and start to educate our community on the new report card.
Thank you for that introduction. This is the first time that we're presenting this new information to the board, and really, it might be the first time a lot of the people in the audience have heard about the new report card or have seen it. It's going live in August, September. We'll have it. Now, Kathy and I were going to present the first couple slides, but I'm going to do most of the talking because Kathy wasn't sure that she was going to be rehired this evening. We have, before we get into the new report card, we just wanted to show you a snippet of what the old report card represented and what it looks like. And that was the state's accountability model, its report card, since 2004 and 2005. Now, I'm just going to talk about the buckets that are in that report card as Andy goes to the next slide. You'll see our school district, its designation, excellence with distinction. Thank you to all the people that are sitting in the audience. The state report card distinctions levels go from excellent with distinction all the way through to academic emergency and academic watch. And they arrive at that designation with adding all those measurements to the right together. This district met 26 out of the 26 indicators, which means that in every tested area, we had 75% passage rate. So, for example, third grade math and reading, 75% passage rate on both of those. We get two of those indicators all the way through with OAHS third grade through eighth grade. It also includes a high school graduation metric at 10th grade, a high school graduation metric at 11th grade. That makes 24 indicators. There's an indicator for attendance and an indicator for high school graduation. We hit all of our marks last year. Performance index is a measure of how every kid does on the OAAs. And what it does is it takes a percentage. You can score in five different categories on the OAAs, from accelerated, advanced, proficient, limited, basic. The state will take the percentage of kids that scored proficient, multiply that number by 1.0. That goes into an equation. It does that for every group of kids and where they scored, what level they scored on the OAAs, and it arrives at what's called performance index. We were at 102.3, which I think was our highest performance index ever. AYP, not a state metric, but a federal metric, a measurement that originated with No Child Left Behind, with the goal of getting every single child in the nation proficient in math and reading. 100% of all kids were proficient in math and reading by the year 2014. And what happens with AYP is there are 10 separate subgroups of kids. A district has to have at least 30 kids in each one of those subgroups. For example, all kids is a subgroup. Asian students subgroup, Hispanic students subgroup, 10 different categories, and there are goals around each one of those categories. So for example, the goal for proficiency passage for all of our kids is 75%, but with AYP, some of our subgroups have an even more rigorous metric. To meet AYP, fifth graders had to score, each subgroup had to score an 81% passage rate. In eighth grade math, 68.5% passage rate. So those numbers are federal numbers, those are goals set at the national level, and AYP for our district was not met. And then we have the value-added piece. And the value-added piece is different from achievement. The achievement piece is the performance index. Value-added is whether or not each child attained a year's worth of learning in 1 year. Did they meet expected growth? If so, then the district would get a check mark. Did they meet more than expected growth? And if so, if we met that metric, we get a plus or above. And the district last year was graded at above expected growth for all of our kids, grades 4 through 8 only on the OAAs for value added. And if the district does not meet expected growth, it has a minus sign. The minus symbol indicates not expected growth. That value added metric, pay attention to the next part of the presentation, because as you get check expected growth, that's a really good thing. And we can celebrate that. The way the new report card reads, it doesn't look like it's quite worthy of celebration. And there are many other nuances of the report card that you'll hear about today, and we'll live and ask and answer a lot of questions on it next year from our community. Kathy, nice to have you here.
Oh, so this is what the new grade card is going to look like. Not until 2015 will districts get an overall grade, but they've changed these buckets a little bit. So there are these 6 defined areas, and then in each of those areas there are multiple measures on how districts and how buildings are doing to meet the expectations of educating children. For example, if you start with the achievement one, that's like we've done now. The performance index would be included and performance indicators. Progress is all the value-added scores, and it'll be split out. Value-added for gifted students, value-added for students with disabilities, the lowest 20%, and in a few years, a high school value-added measure will be added, too. Gap closing is what it is. How are we closing the gap between our low-achieving students? This is the federal measure again, the No Child Left Behind, and they changed the term to AMO, which is Annual Measurable Objectives. I think this is my commentary just to mess with us, to give us just one more different word to remember. But that's all about how we close the gap between those students. Prepared for Success, that level of measures is all about career and college readiness, and we include like AP scores and industry credentialing and the different diplomas, honors, diplomas, dual enrollments. K-3 literacy is how we're moving literacy from kindergarten to third grade. And then the graduation rate will compare both the number of students that graduate in 4 years and the number of students that graduate in 5 years. That's a quick overview, and I know all of my colleagues here are anxious to tell you more in detail.
Thank you, Kathy.
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jody Robertson.
And I'm Sean.
So, real quickly, I'm going to tell you about the graduation rate. It might seem like they gave me the easiest one, but I think it's really more my skill of explaining it. But the graduation rate, they've already been recently, they've already switched to a new way of measuring this. It used to be that you estimated how many kids were going to graduate, but now it's a 4 and 5 year actual percentage of how many kids have graduated. So the 4 year graduation rate is going to lag. Yeah, it's going to lag by 1 year because they allow them the summer. Students may graduate over the summer, and so it's always going to be behind 1 year. If you see, you need to have a 93% or above in order to get an A. Marysville is very close here. They're at a 92.7. Oh, we're at a 92.7, so we're very close to that age or that grade. of an A. The other thing about this that's a little different than the other things that you're going to see is that the others are what it would have been if we had this grade card. This will actually be our grade for graduation rate next year because it lags behind. They won't have that data for next year. The five-year graduation rate then just includes also kids that make it through in 5 years. And again, when you they've upped the ante there that they expect you to have more kids graduate if you give them more time, which does make a little bit of sense. You'll see it doesn't. If you see 92.1, that might not initially make sense to you, but that's because it's actually kids that should have graduated in 2010, 2011. So you're actually 2 years lagging behind there. So that's why if you're thinking mathematically that doesn't make sense. It's because it's an entire cohort of kids. So they combine those two things, and that's how we'll get our final graduation grade.
I'm here to talk about the new bucket, which is Prepared for Success, which will measure how our kids leave high school ready for the next career, college, and all sorts of things. There are, five or six different ways they're going to rate us as high school kids leave our building on how they're prepared for the next level. As I read about this in preparation for talking, the actual calculation has not been decided upon. So we do not actually know, and this is clear, this is, classic Ohio Department of Education, but at some point soon they will be getting us that calculation, but college admittance tests, your SATs, your ACTs, dual enrollment, industry credentials, honor diplomas, and then AP or international baccalaureate. Just to quickly talk, the reason why our high school administrators aren't here is they're at a word of excellence tonight, and there are several of our students who are receiving industry credentials from the health tech programs. And we have some different programs going on in the building doing this that are ever expanding. And if you move to the next slide, this is actually what's gone on over the last couple of years. DE is dual enrollment. So that is students who are getting both high school and college credit. So the first box there is the number of students and then the number of courses they took. So in 12-13, we had 376 different college credits earned through the dual enrollment, and that's out of various different colleges. That's from math to social studies across all subject matters. And as you see also, our AP students are greatly increasing. There's a huge increase of 125 or 27 AP classes taken in a one-year change. We're having a large upturn with that. So the higher those numbers go, you would clearly assume that the better our rating would be on the Prepared for Success, though we don't know what those numbers are. And that 400, that's over 25% of our student body. So I would have to imagine that's a good number. But we'll wait to see on that. So that's how that's all going to be calculated in the future. And again, this is the Prepared for Success. They're only going to report it in 2013-2014. We won't be graded until 2014-2015. And this is clearly has to be because they don't know how they're calculating it yet. So.
Hi. I'm Ryan Behrman, and this is Mary Davis, and that's Lambert. We'll be the elementary math coaches next year. We're going to talk to you about the achievement component. The measures are actually the same measures that Mr. Canale already explained, the performance index and the performance indicators, but there's a couple of changes in the way they're doing things, and I'm going to speak to that. You can see with the indicators, this is the most important thing. Mr. Canale made it clear that we've been judged on a proficiency level of 75% for all these years. That's being bumped up to 80%. Based on last year's 2011-2012 data, that would put us at a B. The performance index hasn't changed.
Can I interrupt you 1 second? Put you on the spot. So react to this. There's a new set of assessments coming into play, correct? On our horizon. And your analysis of those assessments, are they more rigorous or are they pretty comparable to what we're taking now?
They're much more rigorous.
So you have more rigorous standards and a higher expectation for achievement, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure that was important there.
The performance index actually hasn't changed, but the way the state is reporting it in letter grades has got another step to confuse you. As Mr. Canale said, it's a scale from 0 to 120, but the state reports it on a scale using percents to give you a grade. So if you go to the next slide, what you have to do is take your performance index, ours was 102.3, divide it by the maximum, which is 120, and out comes a percent. And you'd see last year's was 85% if you follow that, and that's where our B comes from.
Kim and I are going to talk to you a little bit about gap closing, which is also, I guess, known as annual measurable objectives, or AMOs. And this would be comparable to AYP on the current report card, or adequate yearly progress. It looks at subgroups from a district or a building, and those subgroups would include disability, socioeconomic, racial, or ethnic. It looks at how that those students in those subgroups perform as compared to the collective whole of all the students in Ohio. So you have students in Ohio, and you have your students that fall into those subgroups, and depending on how close or how far those scores are, create your gap. So this is how you're going to be rated. If the gap between all the collective students and your subgroups is within 90 to 100%, you receive an A on the report card. And may I say that all your subgroups have to fall in that gap. So if you had four different subgroups or five different subgroups, and three or four of them met that gap and one did not, you would not get an A. So it's pretty rigorous that way. And then, of course, you can see the B and the C. And on.
Of course, I get the slide with the B. It's the meeting, and I come back and I get the B. So, Matt, this is similar to AYP, which we did not meet on our current report card, so obviously that would make us a D on this scale. We can just move to the next slide. So, these are the things we're going to be working on. We did do an auto review this last winter / fall. So we'll be reviewing that as soon as we get all of our players in place for that. We're really looking at our inclusion delivery model. We do that really well at some buildings. We'd like to make that more continuous model, K-12. Differentiated instruction, not just for our students with special needs, but also for our low socioeconomic students. Our response to intervention model, we are going to tighten that up a little bit and work on that district-wide, but especially focus on the elementaries to make sure that they're all doing cohesive, being cohesive unit. Of course, that third grade reading guarantee that came along this year included RIMP plans, so the reading intervention and monitoring plans. So we'll still be doing those, K-3, to help focus on those reading instruction. And then, of course, all of our lovely coaches that we now have that will help our teachers focus on more rigorous instruction and just help them feel supported to help those students.
This bucket, if you will, measures the average annual improvement for each student. Value-added overall is the overall rating of the school and the district. The gifted students is math, reading, or your superior cognitive students. The progress with lowest 20% is a percentage that is based on a distribution score of the entire state. And students with disabilities are all the students who have an IEP and take the OAA. And like I was going to say, this component is ranked on, oh, you're okay. Sorry. these value-added grades are based on a scale, a value-added index.
You guys got one quick question. What are they measuring gifted students on? Progress of what? I mean, it says gifted students, but what are they actually measuring? If you're a gifted student, then it's how you do in school, or is it how you're doing in the gifted program?
They're being measured on the overall value added with the Ohio Achievement Assessment.
Okay.
Which will be changing eventually to the assessments that Diane mentioned, the PARC assessment. So, you know,
right.
The information we're going to share tonight is what they are currently being graded on.
Okay.
In essence, the question is, are you moving your
gifted
brightest
kids.
Students, and are you also moving your students that need the most intervention at the two different ends of the spectrum?
Gotcha.
And, I mean, value added is nothing new, as you saw before.
Right.
It is on the current grade card. However, this is really drilling it down to very specific subgroups, which we didn't have before. But that's, I mean, in my mind, that's a good thing. It helps
sure.
us, you know, really target those areas that we need to focus on. So.
Okay.
One thing to add to that too, like the way I understand it is it measures the highly importance of curriculum instruction for all students. If you know what I mean, so it's gifted the whole range. The next slide. This is the value-added, and explain the gain index, if you will. This has been the same report card purposes since 2007. The difference right now is, if you look at the C range, minus 1 to plus 1 represents 1 year of growth in 1 year, which is given a C grade. And that's new for what we're used to. So basically, you want to get a minimum of a C. Obviously, you want to do better than that. That's where your goal would be.
So C would be your expected growth?
Yes. C is at least adding 1 year's value to that
right.
student's growth.
Right. So expected would be average,
C,
right?
Yeah, it's kind of like, that's why.
That's what
they're now
talking about.
Right.
They used to be a check mark if you just met and then
right.
you know how to get the plus, the four above,
mm-hmm.
and now it's a letter grade. So we're just going to kind of go through the different areas so that you can see if we were given these grades for this past year, what these would be. This one, I get to get. Thank you very much to all of you. Our value added, overall value added, so this is all the students. We received an A in this, so meaning that we're actually pushing kids, not pushing, but we're challenging them, and they have gained more than a year's growth, which is phenomenal. Not a whole lot of districts, and I can't actually see that percentage in there, too. What is it?
10.
Anyway, 10. Thank you. 10%. Only 10% of the school districts in Ohio are able to celebrate this. Our gifted students, again, I feel like we focus so much sometimes at the elementary on our most at-risk students. But obviously, we're also doing a pretty darn good job with our gifted students as well. So again, we're meeting more than a year's growth for our gifted students, which I think is phenomenal. So we were excited about that. Now, don't panic. Again, that C still means that we were able to provide, or the kids were able to achieve, at least a year's growth. Again, the C, you know, we want more than a C, but, you know, for right now, this is where we are. And again, these are our lowest 20% kids, though. When we, and again, it's a distribution across the state, so the lowest 20%. And then our students with disabilities, we are meeting and providing and getting a year's growth with those students as well. So again, with some of the initiatives, yes. And as Kim mentioned, you know, we have plans, those future considerations, to even get, you know, more than a year's growth. But we were excited.
Can I go back to that lowest 20%?
Yes.
Just to provide clarity. So when you talk about distribution, that's not our lowest 20%, correct?
No.
So everyone in the state of Ohio is dumped in a pool.
Yes.
And those kids are put into quintiles.
Correct.
And we may have two kids in the lowest 20%, or we could have 500 kids in that lowest 20%.
Correct.
So it's the distribution of the state of Ohio into quintiles. So every kid in the state fits into one of those areas. And so it depends on how many kids you have in that bottom 20% of the state distribution.
And I apologize, we didn't find that number out as far as how many kids.
That's okay, I just wanted to make it.
But yes, that's a great clarification. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kathy Savage. I'm an elementary literacy coach. And I didn't make any of the meetings, so obviously I'm part of our list. They just made me some sets by myself tonight. Oh! I didn't know they were coming up with it. Okay. So the K-3 literacy component addresses how well schools are helping young students who are reading below grade level. This measure and component is directly related to Ohio's third grade reading guarantee. Kim Duke talked a little bit earlier about the REMP plans, which are the reading improvement and monitoring plans. So what teachers are doing in grades K through 3 is they are administering assessments at the beginning of the year. Any student that is below grade level is considered off track, and we would develop a REMP plan for them, which outlines some intensive interventions that those students would receive in hopes that by the end of third grade, every student will be reading
at grade level. Okay. This initiative, this part of the grade card does not happen until August of 2014. The Ohio Department of Education, just like Sean mentioned earlier, they're not really clear about what the measure is going to look like, but they're hoping that maybe by December of 2013 they will be able to paint a better picture of what those expectations are. Okay.
I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the report card and how it's being rolled out. Starting August 13 of next year, everybody who's talked to you about the buckets, are those are the components. And in August of 13, those components will not be graded, so those overall buckets, we will not receive a grade for those. But we will receive a grade for the 9 measures that everybody has spoke on currently tonight, the performance index indicators, the performance index, all of those different things. We will receive a grade, and they also shared with you the letter grade that we would receive on our current information. Next year, they will use all of that, the data that is pertinent to that, to give us a measurement or to give us a grade on August 13th. And there's the August 2014 is when they will be bringing in the components. That'll be the year after the 2013 date. And then they'll start bringing in the components, and also they'll bring in a few more measures as well. So.
And I just wanted to say that we are preparing for this, as Kathy spoke to, about the third grade guarantee and the things put in place currently, and also with having all of us as coaching, we're going to be working really hard to support teachers through this transition and hopefully seeing an impact when we do get graded.
Which leads us to Andy's portion.
You know, I got a question. I always got a question.
That's right.
So do you think that, obviously there's more rigor in this report card. Do you feel it better represents what we should expect out of our schools when we look at that report card as compared to what we have now?
I think a couple things. One, I think with the transition to the Common Core, there are higher standards being taught at lower grade levels, first. Second, with higher standards being taught at lower grade levels, additionally, there are students and correspondingly teachers are going to be asked to apply their knowledge in different and unique ways. They're going to be asked to analyze, synthesize, collaborate, present, apply their knowledge in ways that perhaps they haven't. So, you know, on a traditional OAA, the likelihood of students having to come up with how it is that they're going to solve this problem isn't as great as it will be on the PARC assessment. So you not only have content standards that are far greater, you have an assessment in the PARC assessment that is going to be far more rigorous and challenging across curricular areas. It's going to have them reading nonfiction text, perhaps watching a nonfiction video on CNN on the same nonfiction topic, and then maybe a opinion piece written on a particular slant, and then they're going to have to write, having to synthesize all three of those, a persuasive essay taking a stance with support. So that's the kind of application that it's going to be. So without a doubt, it's more rigorous. In terms of the report card, I think that it's a higher level of accountability. I think that if districts do it well and in a collaborative way, in a growth-minded way, in a way that says, hey, let's learn together. What is this telling us? We got a D. Well, okay, why? Let's understand the root causes of why we got a D. You know, let's look at it structurally. Let's look at our curriculum. Let's look at our assessments. Let's look at our leadership. And let's also concentrate on our strengths. But let's be brutally honest with areas for improvement. And I'm confident that if it's done that way and done collaboratively, not in an I gotcha way, but in a way of, hey, what can we learn from this and how can we improve with the staff that we have and the students that we have, the community we have, and the parents we have, I'm very optimistic and confident that we can take this disaggregated data and use it to maximize student learning. in meaningful and relevant ways.
Are those park assessments done yet?
There are.
Good question. Huh? Is anything done yet? No. Okay.
No. There are samples online that we can begin to preview. Yes. But are they done? No. Not holistically done. But there are samples that we can preview.
Didn't the middle school pilot those this year?
There was a pilot in
I've got, like, when you look at some of these changes, do you feel like we have the supplies that we need?
That is an excellent question. You know, I think that without a doubt, you know, being a teacher is very, very challenging. Being in education is very challenging. And with these increased accountability measures, and not only increased accountability measures, but increased standards of rigor, increased or different ways of providing instruction such that students are doing cognitive work, trying to come up with creative and innovative ways to formally assess student learning so that that provides insights to this individual as a learner. You know, that's challenging and requires support. It requires resources. So I think that we need to continue to work on that, truthfully. Secondly, I think there's another resource question, and that is this notion of one-to-one computing and accessibility in the end user to logistically be able to have students interface with and take the test. That is another challenge, which, you know, we've been interviewing for IT directors. And, you know, one of the things, I think it was after the interview process, I believe, I said, you know, I have to tell you, the second this person is hired, the first conversation that I'm going to have with him or her is, listen, we have got to, today... get our arms around a full K-12 audit of technology so that when we can be successful. I do know that our infrastructure, our network, our security systems, and wireless is beyond what the standard minimum is. I know that. My concern has to do with one-to-one interface with students so that we can logistically get this accomplished. Great question.
So there's, obviously there's a lot going on right now with this, the grade cards, OTES, Common Core, the park assessments. There's a huge push to kind of delay some of this stuff. And I guess my question is, and I don't know if I'm just going to toss it out there, I mean, what's the general feel? Would we be better off delaying? Would the state delay it? Would it be one of those, we're in a better situation? Or do we really, because it seems like everybody's working real hard and everybody seems like they're ready and they're pumped up and ready to go. So
Yeah, you know, Doug, I've seen some of that.
Can I answer that? Philosophically, I struggle. When you introduce a whole set of standards and assessment that go along with that and you don't matriculate through the system. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not fair to kids who went under one set of standards to be tested at, in my opinion, how's right. that? And I'm sure that no. I probably don't care about my opinion sometimes. But I think it's a struggle. It's a philosophical issue. A right-minded would be, you know, a rollout approach. Mm-hmm. Right. And I know that was talked about at one time. And understanding, basic instruction and teaching and learning is about putting the target in front of you. And when you don't even know what the target is you're shooting for, you keep doing what you're doing, thinking you're going to do the right thing, but you still very well may fall short. And I think that all districts are struggling with, you know, get everything in line and give us our targets and we'll get there. But not having that target out in front to shoot for is problematic. Right. So while I think we've done great work, that's no reflection of the work that's happened this year or the work that will continue to happen. My concern is when you don't have things defined and you're asking people to shoot to that target, you know, this group
prior to Andy and I, our arrival, over and over again has shot at a target and gone higher and higher and higher every year. So I do believe we'll get there, but I think it's fair to to give the target.
Well, I know there's, I mean, I've had people pressuring me to the state's getting pressured to delay things. And I've heard from people that say, hey, we should pressure the state to delay things. But I'm not in the buildings. I don't know what's really happening. And everything I see at these board meetings is positive. I mean, it is. It seems like people are taking the challenge and really, rolling up their sleeves and getting it done. But I guess if there's a lot of pressure on the state right now to delay things from certain people, do we join that choir and say, hey, delay would be good? Or do we sit back and just let them make the decision and go with it?
Well, here would be my opinion. I think that you can join the bad bandwagon and ask the delay, but it's still going to happen. So if we're still not getting prepared, even if it is delayed, if we continue to wait, we're still not doing ourselves any...
That's my sense, but I'm not the person doing it. Right. I have no clue.
My sense would be, just with talking with people at Ohio Department of Education, I would be surprised that there was a huge delay.
Because I think
sometimes sitting in a different chair, people think, well, if not now, when?
Right.
And let's push it and get it done, and people will rise to the occasion. Right. That's what, really, in essence, we did the first time around, too, when we switched to standards-based in whatever year that was.
Yes, actually, I would love it.
Okay. Middle school, we've been pushing towards this all year long. Let's jump. I don't know our landing for sure, but let's jump. We're ready to go. We'll jump. We figure out when we're landing on the way down.
Yep.
But we'll catch it somewhere on the way back up.
You're right.
Okay. I mean, that's how I'm working. But, I don't know what that really means, jump. You guys know.
Jump wholeheartedly into it.
No, I know what you meant by it, but I meant...
I think it's no different than what I said. It's just frustrating not to know where you're headed, but I think, what I've seen and what principals have shared and work that I've seen that teachers have done, we're ready to move to instruction and make that difficult shift and talk about what, project-based learning looks like. And we already have some really great examples of project-based learning, and we can learn from people who are already doing it. And it's just about, for us, I would totally agree, push forward. And what's going to be wrong with higher expectations for learning, more rigor?
Yep.
That's a hard argument.
Well, I tell you, I was going to say, I think that's just everything you said about our team is, that's why I think we're very blessed here in Marysville, because I don't think it's like that everywhere.
And I was just going to say, I think one of our biggest challenges is educating the community. We get to sit here and listen to these presentations and see the correlation between excellent distinction and the new grade and the new report card, and we get to drill down to the detail, but all the community is going to see is that A, that B, that D, and that's where we have to really work hard to get that information out there.
Especially during a transition.
Because we know we're doing good work.
Okay. Any other questions? All right, excellent, excellent presentation. Thank you very much. Okay, next up is the superintendent's report. Madam Superintendent.
I just have three things I want to hit on pretty quickly. We've had lots of presentations here. First, just want to congratulate everyone again on a well-run and huge margin of victory in May on our levy ask. I believe there were 134 school district issues in the state, and we had the highest margin win. So, not to mention, it was the highest margin win for Marysville ever. So certainly a lot to be proud of with the work that happened there. Again, as I've talked to you, our work is far from over. I think you have heard over and over from me my frustration with, if you think of communication as a 100% equation, we tend to do 80% of our communicating right before a levy, and then 20% the rest of the time, and we are going to work diligently to switch that to 80% the rest of the time and a 20% push before the levy. We don't do a good enough job of bragging about the things that we do really, really well and talking about our struggles financially or otherwise. So we're working on that currently, and we'll continue to talk about that, and certainly with the 656 renewal on the horizon for us next year, I think is a great opportunity to continue to do that. As well, had a great conversation with Kevin and Chad from the JT, and a way to do that, they're going to allow me to have a column in the JT once a month. So mm-hmm. We're going to get that kicked off. Really excited about that. We're going to start with a summer feature about work teachers do in the summer. I think that's a little bit of
misnomer.
There you go, misnomer. That teachers, you know, have 3 months off, and we all know that's not true, but I think we're going to start with some kind of highlight around that. So pretty excited to get that going as part of that communications plan.
How many of those are you going to do a year?
I'll do one a month.
Oh, I'm sorry, one a month. Yeah. Did you say that? I didn't hear. Sorry, that's 12, right? That's just being A, right? I didn't hear that. So, all right, 12? Got it.
You're all over it.
I think. So, I am now.
Also, I wanted to let you know, and I know all of you received a little update, but we received recognition with MORPSI. Was that at the end of last month? For the work in collaboration with the COG, so it's a statewide recognition. I'm pretty excited about that. We're honored at a lunch and received a certificate on collaboration and noted statewide. And the last thing on here that I want to continue to talk about is we've talked about at length and looking at our financial future and moving forward with where we are now and the hiring process. We are continuing to try to stay staffing neutral as much as possible. So we've had some difficult decisions and conversations with principals about every opening that is becoming available or an option. You know, is that position needed? Is there another way to shift resources around? Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is yes. So we are looking at each one of those as they come across. It's just not an automatic hiring. The goal, as we've talked about at length, you know, as we make those decisions, they count exponentially down as that figure goes on and on. So we want to make sure when we're making that investment in someone that we can maintain them for the future. I don't want to relive December and in any scale. So as I committed, I think that was last month, we're going to do our due diligence to make sure that we can maintain a staffing level that we can afford while maintaining excellence in the classroom. So that's definitely a tension and a tough seesaw balancing act, I guess. But that's kind of the conversations we're in now. You will see some resignations on this time, and conversations have happened around those as well. So we'll continue to keep you up to date on those as we move forward.
Okay. Any questions? All right. Treasurer's report.
Before I get up and do our presentation about the five-year forecast tonight and the budget, you probably saw in the newspaper, especially the Dispatch, about Governor Kasich and Bureau of Workers' Compensation giving rebates and all. The rebate that we will be receiving, or the estimated rebate, is $106,350. So do not know when that will be received, if it'll be in June or July, but that's what the estimate is right now. So that'll be a definite plus that we were not expecting at all. So it was based off of the premiums and everything from 2011. So Wow. That was one piece of good
news. That's very
that
good news.
We got this week. So, with that, as we discussed, this is our month to approve the 5-year forecast. And before we do that, it's also, I think it's a good time to look at what does a budget and what does the budget process mean for a school district. So, I'm just going to give you a little overview of the budgeting process. Looks like Amy's going to grab the light for me. So, budgeting process for the district is very fluid. In other words, it's happening every year. It's happening every day. Basically, we look at the goals of the forecast. We look at the goals, what we're doing as far as where we're at each time that something else happens. Our previous year, we look at that, see what's going on for next year, and where we're going to go in the future. We've got a lot of different funds in our forecast or in our district and in the budget itself. The forecast is general fund and maybe a federal fund thrown in there, but general fund mainly. General fund is controlled by the departments and the buildings. So we give the departments and buildings their budget every year and they say this is what we want to do. Our expenditures, they can shift them around how they want to do that. And we've given everybody their amounts, or most everybody their amounts so far this year. And I know this is hard to see, but this gives you a timeline of what our budgeting timeline is. So, June 2013 is here where we're, for next year, we're going to start. Complete the summer projects. Well, June through September, there's not a whole lot here as far as forecasting, but there is. We're updating the salary information on everybody that we hire during the summer. We're updating everybody that goes to college and gets moved over on a different step or a different degree. We're doing that update. And that goes into that next 5-year forecast or October forecast. The green boxes, that's our capital projects. So we're completing the summer projects in June, July, August, September. Then we started again in October looking at them and saying, what do we need to reevaluate those projects for? And then by December, we're going to prioritize those. And then come spring, we'll start advertising if there's anything that needs to be bid out or anything. For the regular other areas, we're going to adopt our 5-year forecast in October, end of October, November time frame. By beginning of December, we're going to start building our base, our budgets, and looking at our enrollment, seeing where we need to go for our staffing, and then in January, we have to adopt the tax budget. Then come mid-January, we're starting to distribute in the building and their department allocations. Okay, guys, I know it's been later this year, but other things got in the way, but this is our timeline that we're working for. So the timeline to update those new budgets is in January, February. That's when it should be. By April, May, we should be finalizing our staffing plans and then finalizing the building department budgets by the end of May. And in May, we'll be reviewing our 5-year forecast, updating it, and returning it to the state. And then come June, we'll adopt the budget. So this year, because we didn't follow this timeline, we have to adopt two budgets. A temporary in June, and then we'll finalize it in September. So our goal, Diane and I have talked about this, we'd like to get this process into place so that we can start looking at it and saying we only have to adopt that budget once a year. Come June, and then we can update it during the year with no problem. We'll bring you changes in appropriations. I've had those on the board agendas throughout the year. Just bring those in, and that way we don't have to worry so much about having that September timeframe. Where we are today. Today's the first look at the fiscal year 14 budget. I gave you a copy of temporaries. Temporaries are based off of last year, or this current year. I've only updated about 5 or 6 lines from this current year because we're still getting the budgets from the buildings in, so I won't have everything in there until middle of next month when we go, or hopefully by the first of the month, so I can get it out to you a little bit earlier. Staffing, we're still reviewing our staffing and deciding what's going to happen to fiscal year 14. We're working on our building budgets. You guys are talking about the state report card. There's another section of the state report card that nobody's talked about yet. They're going to put something in there on our finances, where we're spending our finances,
are we spending more on instruction or non-instruction? The higher you grade, that goes, that helps that grade for everybody else. So we are going to spend that last week of June correcting every account that we possibly can to make sure that every account of everything that we spend on the kids in our district goes into instruction and not the non-instruction areas. So they've changed things like speech pathologists, counselors, the aides in the building, those all used to be non-instructional. Now they're saying you can move those into instructional. So that's a lot of accounting changes, and that is going to help us out a lot. Instead of just saying, well, we're going to count those codes, they said, no, you got to move them. So we're going to move those and make that change. That's for this year's report card. It's going to look a little different, so it's going to take a lot of work to move everybody around and make sure that we've got everything. Then finish the forecast for the budget for June. That's where we're at right now today. Another thing, just so that the board knows, we are shifting one of the accounting clerks out to the receiving center. Sarah's going to be going out to the receiving center as a cost-saving measure for the district. And she'll be doing processing all the purchase orders out there along with all the receiving center information. So that's one area. I hate to lose her out of the office, but that was an idea that she came up with about the same time I thought, well, maybe this might work. And then when she brought it to me, she goes, it's going to work. And she is determined to make it work. So that's one good thing about that. Now on to the forecast. The forecast this year has had a lot of changes and just things that we didn't expect, and that's why it's a forecast. Tangible personal property tax, the amount from our public utilities, has went up by $131,000. We received over $206,000 more in state foundation than what we thought we were going to have. And our property tax allocation, which is where the homestead rollback and TPP hold harmless payments, mainly homestead rollback, that was up by $43,000. Our changes in our expenditures, personnel, we have about $67,000, $68,000 in there that we aren't going to have to spend. Our increase in retirement benefits and or insurances, and in that area, it's up about $72,000. Purchase services is a decrease of $379,000. The reason there is mainly our utilities. Our electricity this year has not been where it was at a year ago. We are in a program that we were able to do. Also, our natural gas is we're running a lot less than what we thought. So those are both good things there. We've had an increase in some of the materials and supplies. Our capital outlay we've increased a little bit because of the fact that we've allowed the principals to change those around. If they didn't want supplies, they bought equipment, and they made those changes during the year. Then we've had other decreases in the objects, and I think that was mainly for that amount of money had to have been our auditor and treasurer's fees. So those are where we've made the changes at in the forecast for May. Net change to revenue. Additional $381,000, a decrease in expenditures of $393,000, so that increases our bottom line by $775,000. Decrease of expenditures, increases revenue, that makes it a little better. So where do we want to look at for our forecast this year? We put a lot of time into that cash balance policy. And I want to read this to everybody. In order to maintain financial effectiveness, tax levy shall be pursued and or the district's finances otherwise managed to ensure that the general fund cash balance to be at least 5% to 15% of the previous year's actual revenue received or 1 to 2 months of expected expenditures. So 5% of the previous revenue would be $2.3 million. 1 month of our expenditures is $3.5 million. So we need anywhere from at least $3.5 million to about $7 million to have a good cash balance and to look positive. In the fall when we refinanced the bonds, that was one of the things that we didn't get the best rates because of that. We did not have cash balances.
when you only have 5 days cash balance in the middle of the school year, that's not very much. What would happen if something drastic happened at that point? We wouldn't have the money to pay, make payroll, and or anything else like that. So that's, we've worked hard. We're getting there. We're starting to look at that and see where we're going. Options for the forecast. We've worked, we as a group, as the team, have worked on options. We met with the finance committee on Monday, and they gave us an option, and then there's a third option. So for the first option, this is the option that we presented to the board last week to discuss about other items, the negotiations and all, to look at that, to give us an idea on that. This holds our hold harmless payment for TPP at the current level. It also takes a 1% decrease in 2016 and 2017. Why I'm suggesting that we do the hold harmless payment at the current level is Governor Kasich's budget and the House's budget both say that they want to hold this next 2 years for the 14-15 fiscal years at the level that it is right now. After that, they haven't said what they want to do. Governor Kasich does not like guarantees. He feels TPP, hold harmless payment, is a guarantee. So I went back to where we were at, a 1% decrease in 16 and 17, which is what is in our current forecast. State Foundation, it shows a decrease and then flatlines. I feel that decrease is probably relevant until we see what happens with the state budget. We know that should be here by the end of June. It's still in the Senate. So it's got to come out of the Senate and go to committee before it gets signed or passed on and passed by both the House and Senate.
Your notes indicated that that drop was also because of a lowering enrollment in kindergarten?
Yes, and that's where it's going. Our enrollment for next year is lower. It was like 289, 291 for kindergarten. That's a lot lower than what we've had in previous years. And that right now, our kindergartners are counted as a full in the state foundation formulas, no matter whether we are teaching them half-time, which is what we really are here, even though we have some all day, every day, even those all day, every day, parent pays the other half. So they do not consider that a full-day kindergarten class. That's only a half-day kindergarten class. So that state foundation, we've lowered that for this coming year. So I've flatlined it to where that point is, just because of the fact that it's a conservative estimate there, and that's where we're at. It also includes a 2% increase in salaries in 15, 16, 17, does not include anything for 14. So that's where we're at on that. So this is what it brings it out to. Ending balance with levies, we have in fiscal year 14 with this, we're at 4.3 million, 15 is 5 million, 16 is 4.5, and then we start dropping at 2.9. We are deficit spending 16 and 17. Deficit spending means that you're spending more than you're bringing in every year, and you can't keep doing that at that type of rate to stay afloat. Without the levies, fiscal year, without the 6.56 levy, you're at a negative $500,000 in 16 and a $5.4 million deficit in 17.
Ask a question.
Yeah.
Hey, what's your thoughts on what happens when that rolls over? Because that rolls over soon. So that we're looking at that 17, and it looks like it's, you know,
by 18?
Yeah, what's 18 going to look like?
I would say 18 would be probably, if the levies are not passed, you're going to add another 3 to 4 million on that. So you're looking at $8 million deficit. And you'll look at 3 to 4 million deficit in 14. Or 18 if the levy is renewed. Yeah.
And it's probably worth noting that our cash balance policy also has a
that does not give us our cash balance policy, you know, after that.
No, but I think our cash balance policy also indicates that once we hit deficit spending, we have to make a plan to pull ourselves out of that. Yes, we can't move. We're not allowed to move into that.
Yeah, once we project it. Yeah.
That's what I mean.
I mean, it doesn't mean that you can't have it in there. It just means that you need to
have a plan to address it. Superintendent treasurer to bring it to the board and say what needs
Correct.
To be done. Okay. Option two. This keeps hold harmless payment the same for 14 and 15, but it takes it down 2% increase in 16 and 17 instead of the 1%. And then the state foundation is flatlined from what it is currently. So that brings in $299,963 more per year. It also includes the same 2% increase in the salaries for 15, 16, 17. So with that, that gives us a cash balance in 14 of 4.6, 15 is 5.6, 16 is 5 million, and 17 is 3.2 million. Deficit spending starts again in 16.
At a higher rate.
At a higher rate, yeah. And then in option three, this keeps the hold harmless payments current up until 15 and removes any payment from the forecast for tangible personal hold harmless payment. Remember, when we were getting tangible, guys, it was 30% of our income. When we look at this, it'll shock you, believe me. State Foundation is flatlined from current through 2017, so in other words, what that extra $200,000. And then the increase in 15 and 16 and 17. We have a negative balance as of, even with levies, of $5 million. $5 million in 2017.
That's the deficit.
And the deficit spending was $5 million in 16 and 17. That's the amount of money. That's why the deficit goes down.
You're looking at the wrong line. No. Oh, no, you are. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong line.
And one thing I want to also point out as I was looking through this is just the fact that those hold harmless payments also show up in the tax levy monies.
Yes,
too. Because so you get less in that renewal because there's some hold harmless attached to that,
exactly.
Too.
And when I pulled that out, that really pulled that amount down, and I'm like, if that happens, we've got to start fighting even harder. Mm-hmm. Those are the areas that we do really look at. We are part of that coalition for schools that have high tangible personal property tax, had high tangible personal property tax. They're still getting a lot of the reimbursement. The cap tax was supposed to pay for that. As we know, the cap tax did not pay for that. So we're at that point. We this one, I feel is not a legitimate option, to be honest. I just don't. It was an option to see where we are when that happens.
It's good to see what the liability is. I mean, $5.5 million is about 8 to 9 mils, and that's
And that's what we said. We said we probably have to, if we lost that altogether, we would need at least a 9 mil levy. So.
Anybody have any questions on that? That was interesting.
So that's where we're at with that forecast and where we need to be. So it gives you an idea and which one you want to, once we go into the motion area, to decide what needs to be.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Was there anything else on the treasurer's report? Okay. There is no Ohio High Point report. And Sue has stepped up to do the legislative report, but it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's not legislative. Just a quick update, because I went to the Board Leadership Institute back on April 26th and 27th at the Polaris Hilton, and just wanted to give you a quick overview of it. I went to three different breakout sessions on both days. I went to one about Beyond the Buzz, about blended. Hilliard Schools put on a presentation about blended learning, included history of legislation, student expectations, growth of online learning, saying that there's been a 31% increase over the last 4 years of a blended learning kind of instruction. I went to one about negotiations 101 and bargaining trends, since I'm on the negotiations committee.
Good time to go, right?
Yes. And that was interesting. They talked about OTES and how that's going to be, you know, something that both sides need to talk about. And just some points that the goals are to settle competitive issues, the ones that are win and lose, settle cooperative issues, things like class size and OTES, and to resolve parties' internal concerns and also to affect attitudes and perceptions by building trust. So I thought it was a nice upbeat breakout session. Mm-hmm. Went to one about moving forward together, preparing for House Bill 555 and other changes. So they talked about the report card, OTES evaluation, third grade reading guarantees, and the fact that a lot of things are unknown at this time, and there's a lot of board members that were just as frustrated as I'm sure everybody else is out there. Then the next day went to one about board development. I thought that was really good. They had some people that had been board members for a while, and just some of their tips, some of their recommendations for being a more effective board. And one that I really liked was they said each month at their meeting they looked at the school calendar for the next month to look at events and tried to schedule board members to hit as many events as possible. And I thought that was a pretty good idea. That you should have a code of conduct, which we already do. Talked about having summer workshops, networking with neighboring districts, that I thought that would be helpful as well. Mm-hmm. Went to one about skinnier, smarter Ohio schools, and the Office of the Auditor of the State was talking about how they can perform a variety of audits in our buildings to look for opportunities for savings. And what I thought was interesting is there's a charge for the audit, but if they don't find more than what they can save, there is no charge. They waive the fees. So I don't know if that's really true or not.
Something tells me it sounds like a win-win, but they're not going to pay for it.
The guy who presented was very impressive, had a military background, and looked like he was into being efficient. The last one I went to was a look at controversial school safety and security measures. Are any of them right for your district? And that was, really just kind of an open forum for people to discuss their thoughts on arming school employees, different security measures.
I bet that was an interesting breakout.
It was interesting, yeah. But there's resources at OSBA, and really one of the benefits of this is networking with other board members. And then I just also wanted to let you know I do have a CD that has all the presentations if anybody would be interested. Not the visual ones, but just the breakout information.
Sure.
So that's it.
Great.
One thing on legislative, I did see that the third grade guarantee didn't pass through the House today. So
it's been in the Senate, right? They loosened up the requirements for teachers to be eligible to do the.
Yeah, so that's been passed on.
I mean, would that help us? I mean, I guess absolutely. I assume it would,
yes.
Would it not?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then, lastly, is the Finance Committee.
Very brief one on that. We really spent pretty much the entire meeting talking about the five-year forecast, and that's how we ended up with that option two that came from the Finance Committee.
Mm-hmm. And option three, wasn't it?
No, option three was not from them. Let's see. We also just brought up again the idea of having a Marysville Schools Foundation, and that had kind of been put off. We're hoping that that'll start up again in the summer, and we are actively looking for people that would be interested to be part of a group that wants to start a foundation for Marysville Schools, even though we have an alumni foundation, but just something that's more for current expenses, not for graduating seniors, things like that. That was pretty much it, other than you want me to talk about the landscaping. If anybody likes doing landscaping, right? That's it.
Well, I certainly appreciate the input from the Finance Committee on our forecast and the recommendations, back to the board. I think that's a helpful two-way communication.
I think they really spent a lot of time looking at that forecast and asked a lot of good questions.
I was surprised that came back out of that. That was kind of...
So thank you to those folks. All right, next up we have public participation. I know Juliet had asked to present to the board, so
please,
by all means.
Thanks for the opportunity, as always. I would like to thank the Sea of Blue. I was just thrilled to see this tonight. I asked the teachers to wear their blue tonight along with JB, just to
it's more about solidarity, not as just a group of teachers from a union standpoint, but because this headline right here in our local paper about that 79-21 vote. I tell you what, I don't know if that would have happened without a lot of the people who were out there. So, it was such a great effort by everyone in the community, but we work all day. People gave money. They gave their time. And I really, really, really know that it is because many of you. People are backing what you do every day. And I wanted this opportunity for people to show up tonight to show that not only do they back each other, but the district and this community and our kids. So thank you for showing up in your blue. It's just great, and our efforts all year are going, they're always noticed. I mean, if you look at what the coaches talked about and the administrators, those slides show a lot about what we do, and it's not just this year, it's the years in the past, and we continue to do that. We have cut teachers are gone, but it's where we are. You know, the community said no. And they're doing what they can to figure out the shifting and all these jobs being moved around. We have supported our teachers that are not going to be with us anymore and do whatever we can to support them to know whether it's their rights to be recalled or that they are being recalled, to help them get their jobs, things like that. So it's been an awful, awful time, and it comes up every board meeting. I've talked to Diane and Cindy multiple times a week, and you know, I would love to just be a teacher and not have to deal with a lot of this stuff, but I'll tell you what, I'm proud of the work that we've done as teachers, and then us again working collaboratively with the board and Diane and Cindy. So there's so much more that still needs to be cited, and we continue to urge for these shifts to be announced, for just to get this RIF done and move on to next year. We've got I know there's been so many award ceremonies, and there's more coming up where some of these teachers that are retiring or they're resigning or the people that got ripped are being honored, and I think they should be honored. So I know there's been chanting at Creek Yard Blue today for one of our teachers, and you know, that just shows how much our community and our kids back what we do. The morale is still low. I'm sad to report that, but that's where we are. And we've talked to a couple of administrators, and it's going to take some time. But the thing is, we need the communication to stay open from us to you, whether it's through me or from a teacher to Jeff maybe. I really think that's very, very important that we keep it transparent, which is one of our key words, but all of these things that are changing, whether it's changes in positions or new programs or whatever's happening, we really need to hear it, not just at a board meeting. You know, things like that have to be just open. And I've always encouraged everyone not to just talk to me, but if I don't know all of these things, you know, so I'm like, ask them. And they have said, ask us. And that's all I can do is push the teachers to keep asking questions, the community to keep asking questions, because if you don't ask, you're not going to get an answer. And the answers sometimes are tough, or the answers aren't even there yet. That's where we are. And it's not fun. And we just have to do what we can to get through the rest of this year. We have to do and get focused for next year. We have to support each other. You know, us as a group of teachers, I mean, look at all of you out here today. But it's very important. So we have people taking on new roles that have presented tonight. They're still union members, and they're still teachers, and they're still going to help us, and they're going to help the district, and they're going to help our kids. So I think all of that together and putting that all out there in one big picture is so important. So I got to say, this bit in the newspaper is a victory, and I agree with Kenny, it is a change. We're all about that shift to keep this community going where we need to go. So I encourage you teachers to keep doing what you're doing, because you do a wonderful job. I hear about it often from all of your administrators, and it's great to hear that. You know, it's awesome, and you should be proud. And so we've got a few more weeks of school left. I really, really hope that we continue to stay focused on our kids, but also working directly from this group to this group up here, because we've got work to do coming up with negotiations, which it's, who knows, you know. But I tell you what, we're going to do whatever we can to keep this district moving ahead, and that's what we need. So I'm urging the board and obviously our people in leadership, administrators, and on up. That's what we need. So I just kind of want to report to where we are. We're a part of OEA, and their big vision is that they're a hallmark of excellence in education. And I'm sure it says it. This district continues to say that. So us as a group of teachers, we need to stay focused on that. And I just really I really hope that we continue to keep this part together and not separated, and keep working. Especially to the future for next
year. Okay. All right, thank you. I would just add to that, Juliet. You know, we've certainly enjoyed an open relationship, you know, of communication. And I'll say to anybody, if anybody's got questions, ask. You know, we'll have those conversations. They may not be what you want, they may not be what we want, but we will have them. So I mean, that's the only way that this district is going to move forward, is if we move forward together. And so I just want to reinforce that. Was there anybody else that wanted to speak to the board? All right. And we're going to move on. Next up, I need a motion to approve the minutes from the April 18th board meeting and the May 9th board meeting.
So moved.
I will second that. Moved and seconded. Is there any discussion on those? Hearing none then, can I get a roll call, please?
Yes.
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Lasker?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, we have the, we're going to do the treasurer's items 10, 1, 2, 3, and 4 together. So can I get a motion to approve those, please?
Yeah.
Get a second?
Second.
Who moved?
Did you move?
Somebody made, who made the motion?
Did you motion? Nope. I'll move it.
You get a second? I'll second?
Second.
Moved and second. All right, then, Cindy, let's kind of roll through there a little bit, what you want to talk about, and then we'll kind of go down the line and talk about our questions.
We can't do it. This, what she does is first thing is the financial statements for April. That's basically just everything that's done in April. There's nothing new. Transfer of funds is for the PI. As you noted, there's not as many PI coming out of the regular PI amount because we did receive more in the TIF money, so that was good news.
Good news.
And with the refinancing of those bonds last fall, we didn't have to pay as much, so that's good news. The forecast, we need to know which option you would like on that one, either 1, 2, or 3, for the approval of the forecast that I presented, the notes and all. And then the job description that we showed last month and taken those into consideration.
All right, Ms. Powers, what you have questions about any of those treasurer items?
No, when will we be?
We're moving on all of them. We're voting on them now.
We're voting on which
forecast? All of them.
The forecast,
the job description, and the financial statements. So what would be your preference, I suppose?
On which forecast?
Yes. One,
the
two, or three.
One is the one that we have.
One is the current one.
Yes, that's the one.
Okay.
I would like
so to you're currently comfortable with that one.
Yes.
Okay. Did you have any other comments on the forecast, or was that? If not, that's fine.
No.
Okay. Did you have any further input on the job description? This job description is kind of one that we went over last month a little bit, and were there any further edits for the treasurer's job description so we can move forward in getting...
All right. I'm fine.
Yeah, okay. All right. Mr. Lassiter.
I think we should go option one. I guess the one thing I just do want to point out is that it does, you know, require action because it has a projected deficit. But there's a lot of assumptions in there that just haven't been determined yet. I mean, we got negotiations still happening. We have
budget.
State budget. Yeah. And so I think once the plan to let those things kind of get more chipped in stone, hopefully get a better feel for where the state is on TPP.
I agree.
Because I think that's going to be the biggest part of our five-year plan is looking at how do we address that. Because I rack my brain out all the time. You can't stockpile money. But, you know, it'd be nice if we had some indication that if they are going to phase it out, how much? Is it 1%, 2%? So we can start
to... They've assured us for what years now?
We're good to 16 and 17. Well, 16 is the first year of the
change.
Next yeah. budget that we don't know.
Right.
So that's
also
the other.
Remember that this forecast is to close out this year,
right.
too, you
right.
know, and
that's
then start looking for next year.
Yeah.
And so that's the state wants to see where you were and right. where we're at right now, and that's...
Yeah. So I'm fine submitting this to the state. It's just I just want to emphasize the idea of getting together and doing a five-year plan, which will include 2018.
Right.
And quite frankly, I'd like to suggest that we do a summer workshop,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Probably once the budget is out,
yeah.
to kind of get a little bit better idea of what we're going to do with our cash, you know, our cash balance policy
right.
requires us to have that plan. So I want to make sure that probably in the July time frame, that should let you close the books out, you should have a better idea of what the budget's going to look like. And
I would, as much as we love meetings, I would think that to really get that right will probably take a couple months.
Well, I'm sure, yeah. but that's kind of at least where we could, I mean, I don't know how much you want to do before the budget actually comes out.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure they're going to push that up.
I don't
up
think
to,
it's worth.
That's, I mean, yeah, we're sitting right where we are here. So.
I agree.
Okay. You also had a suggestion for the job description.
I did.
Right.
Let me just real quickly go through my notes on the forecast and make sure
okay.
I'm not missing anything
sure.
there. On the notes, do we mention anything in there that the whole notion of TPP we do? Lingering out
yeah,
there?
Yeah, I've got a whole
okay.
section on TPP.
I thought I looked through it, but
yeah.
I missed a couple things there already. You know, and just one other point on the whole forecast, you know, if revenue swing, I mean, if the state comes through with where they're at now, we'll be in good, decent shape. So,
yeah, mm-hmm. because we don't have anything
yeah.
in there about the new changes, and that's in the notes also
right.
that we
right.
put in there,
yeah.
because the changes, you know, it went from the governor of 3.2 to maybe $900,000 now, so we don't know where that's going
right.
to, you know, and we haven't seen a thing about what the Senate's going to do.
Right.
Yeah, because they're just in hearing process.
Yeah. So I think that's good.
Okay.
The forecast. And then I guess the job description, the only thing I at one point I saw a treasurer's job description, I don't know if it was some other place, where it talked about having a bachelor's of science and
mm-hmm.
and then, or not science, but
right.
yeah.
BA, and then... CPA, and I don't know if those things we have put in a job description, or...
We actually went back. I asked her after you had that. Was in the board office today. I asked her to pull back up the what we put out for our last job description.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I said, so if we add that in there, that seems to kind of... At least, I mean, that was our requirement for...
Oh, that was in there?
Yeah, there was something. I'm
okay.
trying to remember what it was. But
qualifications.
Yes.
Your qualifications. I mean, I think you had to have a
bachelor's
degree... And then,
treasurer's license.
And then either CPA or something of...
Yeah, and that's why we just said it. That's the same verbiage as in the superintendent's treasurer. That's
right.
I
just saw that there was a lot of detail in there. I figured the board part, I wasn't sure if that was...
I mean, I'm okay. If we add that in, is everybody all right with adding
yeah.
that in?
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
that's...
I think that's...
That's
yeah.
okay.
That's
yeah.
Mm.
No problem.
I don't think you're
going
to hire one without
you
that.
Have
so.
Yeah.
You have to have a treasurer.
Yeah,
have a
yeah, but you have to have...
To have a treasurer's license.
And that's what I was going to say. Are there state requirements?
There are state
there.
Requirements.
Right.
So,
I mean, you could just say, that we require whatever the state,
right.
at minimum,
state
requirements,
requirements,
you know.
Yeah.
You don't even have to spell it out.
And then it doesn't
change.
And then
if
the
requirements
changes, it automatically
yeah.
updates
I'm
with
a, I'm okay
yeah,
with that
too. Probably should be in there,
yeah.
actually.
Okay.
That's
it.
So, all right. Those are my opinions on that.
I think that's...
One other comment. You were talking about appropriations in June. And I'm thinking of the timing of state budget. I don't know if we're
appropriations are what you're going to spend, basically. Right. So you've got to have something in place for the first 3 months of the year. Right. So that's why they're called temporaries. Okay. I prefer much having them all totally ready to roll.
Okay.
They will be about as close as we can get ready to roll come June. That's why we really need to start looking at our schedule for next year to put that plan in place so that we can have it, and we'll have the budget ready to roll as of June, our June board meeting for July. But you have to, otherwise we can't spend anything.
Sure, got it. Okay.
All right, Ms. Devine.
Option number one.
And any other
changes. Everybody said everything else that I needed to say.
You know,
so
please say something, option two was a finance committee recommendation.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And I just want to say that,
I
quite frankly, that's where if I were to doing it all by myself, I'd probably think that's a more realistic, I don't even know what to say realistic. I think that's where I'd probably land, the 2% in there. Cause so I think I appreciate everything that they did.
I do. Yes, I do too.
And I just...
Well, I don't think we're going to throw away those. I think again, as we move into the summer, we'll pull those in when we go to our workshop and talk about
exactly.
Those.
And then,
look at them because I agree on that TPP. Who knows?
Right.
You know, I think that the 1% is definitely a compromise. But then when you look at the revenue side and keeping it flatlined right now, when we know our enrollment's going down and they're going to change how they count kindergartners, that scares me a little bit. So, you know, we might as well.
Right.
Stick with our option one that we've spent
that's
a lot
exactly
of time
where
on.
Was, but
and, but yeah.
I just want to make sure the finance committee knows that
we're not
going against the recommendations.
Anything else?
Nope.
I'm okay with option number one as well. And if we change the job description to include as state mandated for licensure,
I think that's sort of
okay. Well, there any other comments then on the treasurer items?
Good job on that presentation.
Yeah,
that was very
good.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You've done a good job with. Many, many, many changes thrown at you.
Okay. Now I need a roll call, please.
Ms. Devine.
Yes.
Ms. Baby.
Yes.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the 2013-14 handbook for the Bunsold Middle School, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Any discussion?
I guess the one thing that stuck out on there was it seemed like we're giving more freedom on the use of cell phones.
Yeah, I read a lot of that. It was interesting.
And, I don't know. Not being an educator, I could just say that is broken down a lot. My communication is different in my own house because of Facebook and texting. It's like it seems it draws people attention. So I just kind of curious as to the thought process there in terms of.
Well, I do know, and even the high school as well. One of the ideas is try to engage it more as an educational tool than fight that all the time. So to try to find ways in which to use it as an instructional tool.
Right.
And the management, teacher collecting, somebody else takes it from the teacher's desk, all this kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. That's what happened when I was a principal. Actually, I had one stolen from an assistant principal who took it from the kids. So.
Wow.
and he bought them a new phone. But just trying to, the management side as well, I think is a bit... cumbersome and not what we should be focusing on.
Sure. No.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Any other comments? Hearing none, then, can I get a roll call, please?
Ms. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Yes. The motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the athletic services agreement, please. I'm going to move on that one. Mm-hmm. Can I get a second, please?
Second.
Moved in second. I think I'm going to jump in front of Diane because I'm actually pretty excited about this. To be honest, since I sit with these guys at our chamber meetings, I think this is a great display of partnership between the community and the district. And it's a how can we help each other, not a hey, what can you give us, or hey, what can you give you. So I'm just going to poke that in there because I'm pretty excited about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, one of the things we talked about coming in the door was developing community partnerships.
Yeah.
And I would say this is a first step in that direction. So certainly appreciate
Chip and all the work they've done in trying to get to meet our needs and, you know, and make everything work. It's kind of been a little bit of a process, but definitely excited to get that on and to help them and to help us offset some costs as well.
Right. I mean, that's really kind of a win-win kind of partnerships that they're that we're going to need to move, you know, as we're moving forward. Those are the kind of things that are going to help us a lot. So.
Is Darren still going to be doing stuff?
I assume it's the
it's
same.
It's the same, yeah. Darren and then Ashley?
Yeah. Ashley. Okay. Yeah, I think
they do. Says our coaches. Okay. Any further comments on that?
No.
Hearing none, can I get a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Lasseter?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, we have our superintendent items, which I know will spur some discussion. So I need a motion to approve 13, 1, 2, and 3, please.
So moved.
Second.
All right, moved and second. There's a lot of items on here. Diane, you just kind of want to jump in there a little bit and cover
sure.
the things you want to talk about.
Bear with me. I'll follow my paper. How's that?
That'd be awesome.
Those old habits. So 13.1 is we gave you the opportunity to review and adjust the administrative salary schedule. We had lengthy debate. I know when I came in the door with there really wasn't a salary schedule in existence as one would typically think of a salary schedule that included any any factors for length of service or experience or accomplishments or pretty much as an elementary principal, everyone made the same flat rate. And so collective work has been looking at area school districts, BASA and ESC data, and then we developed collaboratively with the principals and that salary schedule that includes ranges, so we can kind of widen that gap. We all talked, first year administrator making the same amount as someone who's been here 20 years, mm-hmm. but that's what we had to go on at the time. So this gives us a little more leeway. Then, let's see, 13.2, right?
Yep. Because everybody's downloaded at once.
lengthy list of donations and volunteers for us, right? Or volunteers for us switching a base volunteer, so that program is building. So we're excited to see that taking off. We have fees in there as well, I think, for the middle school.
Do those change? I mean, I think in the past we've seen kind of the deltas on
that. Yeah, the last year, this year. What do we know what the differences are from last year to this year?
Right.
I do not. I know what I paid as a parent this year as a seventh grader.
Well, is it the same?
Yep, $46.
So we know the seventh
grade. $44.46, so.
Okay. All right.
Okay, and then...
We certainly appreciate our donations to the district.
Well, and our volunteers.
And
it
our volunteers as well.
It just always shocks me. Every month there's a new list. It's like the beginning of the school year all over. Then you also have a master list of graduation. Every year the Board of Education should approve graduates. Mm-hmm. Understand that I think the disclaimer's on there that there is still work to be done. So just because the board is approving doesn't mean the school year's over.
Sorry, seniors have to show up tomorrow to school.
So. That's right. So that's on there for your approval as well.
Okay. Thank you.
You're
Ms. Powers, I'm going to start with you again. Did you have any comments on any of the superintendent action items?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Lasker.
On the administrative salary schedule, I guess the two things that it was very helpful to see the data because I'm mm-hmm. not having that kind of didn't know where the ranges were coming from. But my only thought was that low-end number seems like it should be lower on some of those. Like, it's not like you have to start. It's not the old thing where you start somebody at that position. I guess my general thing is when we go to hire somebody, I'd like to give you the most flexibility in terms of what to pay people and how to pay them and how to increase it. And it seems like there's a couple things in there that kind of, I think,
what would those be? What?
Well, the low end number for one.
On all of them? Or?
Well, just on, I just spot checked a few of them, but it seemed like going through that list where compared to some of our current employees, including somebody we just recently hired, the low end is higher than that. And so to me, I would think those numbers would allow you to pay somebody based on market, you know, what the market rate is. So obviously we just hired somebody for a position lower than our low end, then it seems like the market would bear a lower rate for that position, and we should give you the flexibility to, at any given point in time, given the position, to go out and say, hey, you know, I can get somebody who's really good in this position for this amount and save the district some money.
And you saw that based on the data I gave you from the BASA report and the ESC.
Yes.
I know that you were emailed about
I want to say the technology position was one of them, I'm pretty sure it was. That I think we're
interestingly enough, we can't afford anybody in that position, so that's interesting because everyone we're looking at with any type of experience is making significantly more
right.
than we can offer.
I looked at technology. I thought we were pretty low on the low.
Well, no, the only reason I based it off of was the sheet that said here's what we're paying somebody.
Right.
The current employee or whatever versus what, and I assumed we'd already hired somebody for that position or
we have not.
Got it.
Okay. That was the person before.
I would just ask maybe the general question is how are we defining what market is? I mean, are we going to use what our central, I would assume.
That's about as market as you get.
That's what I was asking. So when I looked at that, I was looking at that as market, but I want to make sure we were all
talking. And the average, and with, if you look at some of the average lows,
right.
they were below our lows. And I don't know what the problem is with going lower. And it's, I'm not an HR person, so maybe there's a real good reason why you don't want to go too low on the low end side. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like you have to start somebody at that end.
Right, right.
And I would think that coming here with a good amount of experience, most people think, you know, highly of themselves when they go into position. You start them on the low end because the low end's pretty generous. And you say, hey, I shouldn't be on the low end. I'm pretty good, you know. So it just seems like there's a lot of upside to allowing that flexibility in the low end.
So what is
more of a suggestion?
What do you suggest? I mean, what? Suggesting you move them all, or move them, I mean, I'm just so I know what you're asking.
My suggestion would be to put it in line with some of the average lows on, so from the market data. So
now, what's the issue on the HR side for doing that?
You mean the issue on HR?
What would the issue be with moving some of those some of those ranges, widening those ranges a little bit?
Yeah. Especially if they cut the.
I don't think there's any issue. Yeah. People would probably be more concerned with the top end than.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I don't think anybody's coming in with any experience assuming they're going to make the bottom end of the scale.
How was
right.
this whole collection made? Was it looking out to the surrounding?
Yeah. Right. Yes. We used the ESC data. There's a BASA sheet that gives that same information. We used what our people are currently making. And then try to set up ranges, look at per diem. We just, obviously we've discussed inconsistencies currently with per diem rates, even now.
Yeah.
You know.
So if we've already done that, how would we come up with lower figures if we've already done the research and this is the...
It's not exactly the same. We use those to make hours. So I don't have those in front of me, Doug. I don't know if you printed them off.
I've got the averages there. But I mean, yeah, there were tons of schools, tons of school districts that you guys used.
Right.
I mean, I thought there was a lot of great information in there. So, I mean, I don't know if you want to...
And what's the implications if we set a low range that's higher than what somebody's making today? That works for their district. I mean, does that send
a
message?
That's not a bad thing. If that person leaves, then depending on the experience and accomplishments of the person coming in the door, you could always go lower. So if someone's currently making 80 and you do a new hire and you bring them in at 75,
Well, I guess I was saying, if we have, let's say you have somebody at 60 today, and then we set the low end for that range at 80, that person who say, wait a second,
that was
I'm
a discussion in that conversation, that it would not change anyone that we currently have. It's just going to affect people coming in the door.
I guess.
And I don't think we have that example.
Okay.
No, since we don't have an IT director anymore.
I was just looking at the deltas on here, so I didn't know what was... It said the variance from average, and it talks about the average salaries reported, and then the Marysville incumbent data. And then there's a lot of negatives on the right, which implies... I mean, there's like director of transportation, 30,000 difference between what the average is. And I don't know what we set. I think what we set there was appropriate, though.
It's 50 to 70.
Yeah, so I think we covered that one.
Somebody said 30,000 is probably a very small district.
Yeah, and so all my comments are just feedback. So if I'm fine with whatever you guys are recommending. I just those are my observations. So
okay, two.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The other thing was the bottom right where you talk about performance management criteria for placement. You know, it's. When it says factors for placement, is that just for the new hire, or is that just
correct?
For, okay.
Yeah, and that's what I emailed you back. I'm not sure. Certainly, we can get their evaluation from another district, but we wouldn't have an evaluation, occur unless it was maybe, a teacher going to principal role or something. And I'm not sure that would be applicable.
Okay, so that makes sense to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Sue.
Okay. I had talked to you on. I talked to Lynette just a little bit about if these ranges could have been per diem amounts, just to make sure that those beginning, the low end of some positions, like I think the middle school and intermediate school low end is actually higher than the low end of the high school on a per diem rate, And so to me, I've got a little bit of a problem with that. And that's where, lowering that beginning, lowering the lower end for the middle and intermediate would take care of that problem. And it wouldn't have to be lowered by very much, but, I guess that was my only comment about it. Everything else I thought was good.
Okay.
And I appreciate all the work that went into
it.
I mean, that was a lot of, you did your homework.
So is everybody ready to move on it tonight, or did you want to adjust it for, the board's comfortable taking it, we can take it and readjust it later if we need to.
I guess my question is, if you feel like this
gives you
the flexibility and you feel like these are...
Yeah, we had the same concern. And part of the issue with that middle school, high school, and our assistant superintendent is they're all really not very far off from one another.
Right.
And the conversation became, does the high school principal make more than your assistant superintendent? Or that, and then when we currently have deficiencies in our per diem rates, elementary to high school as well. So I know we had that at length conversation, and the administrative team was very comfortable with that. Certainly we can lower that end if you want, but looking at the comparables, it's not really there either.
Right. Okay.
And this doesn't imply that people are going to all of a sudden get a pay raise next.
No, it does not.
I just wanted to check that was clear.
Or a pay cut, right?
Or a pay cut, right. Okay.
Okay. Any other comments on those items then? I'm okay with. I was okay with the data that you presented to us, and it seems to fit okay with me. So.
At least we have something to.
I got to tell you what this.
It's so much better.
I'm very glad that we've got this. That we finally got it in place where not only do we have kind of a range for people to hire into, we have an opportunity for people to grow, based on some metrics that that they have to meet. I think that's we did it with you, we did it with Cindy, we did it with Andy, and now as we kind of lead from the front, and our administrators now are part of that model. I'm pretty thrilled with that, to be honest with you. So, all right, hearing no further discussion, then I need a roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is just the board policy update review. We are not voting on that tonight. Andy went home, though, didn't he?
He did.
Did everybody read the board policy updates?
Yes, I did.
I thought the interesting thing was there about social media, whereas as it being a public record.
Right.
And I think at some point, if you're a Twitter fan and you're out there tweeting, just be careful. Those are public records. Once you put them out there, and they have to do with any kind of district business. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't have any questions on them, and I'm not really,
Yeah, and if we do, we can ask.
Ask Andy, right. And they'll be up for approval next month.
But most of them, the majority of them were all required.
Correct.
Policy updates, and a couple that we just have some options.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Correct. Okay. Hold on a second. Give me 1 second here. I did not see. I saw on the list from. I didn't see that on there either. One second. Just want to make sure we covered everything because I got a list from. We got a list from Donna that talked about the furlough days for administrators, and I do not see that on any of my lists. So, if you want to add that into your, that needs to be approved tonight, correct?
Yes. You can add that to the resolution to implement the partial reduction.
That was supposed to be part of your board. It was supposed to be part of the documents. You got it in an email today that talked about the 2 furlough days for administrators for next school year.
I didn't get it. I haven't. I can.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. That was in the update from Donna, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
She sent it this afternoon, I think.
In essence, that was part of the reduction plan.
Right.
We had to have administrators sign a letter. That's been done.
Okay.
So, in essence, they will have their 2 furlough days during next school year. They can't be taken on a student day without permission from me.
We just need to move to get it on the
agenda. Yeah, actually, I'm gonna make a motion that we add to the. Unfortunately, my Robert's Rules of Law is I need an FFA student here, but to add an item 15-2 to the agenda that covers the administrative furlough days for just is it for next year 2013-2014?
Yes.
So I need a motion to add that to the agenda, please. I'll second that. Moved and second. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Mady?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
And Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Okay, then moving back to item 15-1, I need a motion to approve the resolution to implement partial reduction in force of school psychologists, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Any discussion on that, Ms. Mankins?
No, this would just be reducing the days of our school psychs as part of the plan for reductions. So,
okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, can I get a roll call, please?
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Mady?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Okay, then I need a motion to approve item 15-2 for the 2 furlough days for the administrators for the school year 2013-2014, please.
So moved.
Second.
Andy. Moved and second. Any further discussion on that? Hearing none, then can I get a roll call?
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mr. Mady?
Yes. Motion carries. Actually, I'm not sure why. Comments and questions are after the executive session, but I will open it up. Ms. Powers, do you have any final comments or questions?
No, I would just like to say a lot of them left, but it was really nice to see all the teachers here and to be here and be a part of everything. Like to see that all the time. I think it's awesome, and I think all of us working together and going forward, this district's unstoppable. So we just need the community's bought in now. So now we just need to keep them in tune and all of us becoming one. We're going to do great things for the kids. Thank all of you.
Okay. Mr. Lasker.
Just kind of similarly along those lines, it's just recognizing that when we talk about stability, that's kind of a, and we're all on the same ship. You know, we saw what deficit spending has done, you know, leads to cuts and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to the five-year plan and all of us kind of coming together to, you know, the same team and recognizing that that's vitally important to keeping the ship afloat. So.
Good. Mrs. Devine.
I'll second that. I mean, it's, I think. Well, I mean, it's great. It's great to hear the word collaboration and working together. And you know, I know I'm ready to do that. And I really sense that from both sides. And I'm excited about that. So also, it was great to see all the good Apple awards. We have an amazing group of volunteers in this district. So many that don't get that award, but
absolutely,
you know, I appreciate all of them. And
Ms. Mankins.
Yes, I talked a little bit about communication plan. I can't believe I forgot to inform all of you that next week we will be going live with Facebook from the district level. To be a first for us. I know everyone else has been doing it 100 years, but we're finally catching up. So you can expect to get an email blast to like us. So
why wouldn't we like it?
Like the district, not me. Like us. So we're excited about that.
Who's updating that?
Amy McGlenn is my sidekick. She's a Facebook.
But she's never on there anyways, though, right?
Yeah, she doesn't have anything to do.
Amy, seriously, I have no clue what I'm doing. So Amy is helping me out with that.
Thank you for that effort, Amy.
That's all I have.
Website, is that coming soon?
When are we rolling out our new website?
Website will be rolled out July the 1st. We're having them show the principals next week at the admin meeting, and hopefully everything that's on the web, our current website, will be rolled over to the new, and we'll be pushing that new one out.
Conversions always go without a hitch.
Yeah, right. No problem. Yeah,
they always have for me. I don't know.
Me too.
Okay. Yeah. Did you have anything else? Yeah. Okay. And again, I would just reiterate, it was nice to see a lot of our staff here tonight.
Yeah.
It's always nice to have that, you know, that they know what's going on here, because it affects every one of them as well as it affects, you know, us. So. And
it's
really
exciting, too, to see how everybody is pumped up about all of you. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of being like, oh, my gosh, it's really neat to see everybody pumped.
And I got to tell you what, I mean, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm sure everybody kind of, you know, kind of let out a sigh of relief. You know, we got a little bit of stability, you know, underneath us now, and maybe we can focus a little bit more on you know, really what we're very good at, and that's educating our kids. And so,
yeah. So
hopefully that's going to be our focus moving forward. And how to best do that. So
that
would be fantastic. Okay. So if there's nothing else, then we are going to move into executive session. Okay. I need a motion to move into executive session at 9:24.
So
I will second that. Move and second. Roll call, please.
Too fast. Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, we are in executive session.